Good morning. I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning. We're also glad to welcome visitors and guests whom we have with us. We're glad you're here and hope you'll come join us again. Today is a big day in the life of our congregation. It is Consecration Sunday. And that means you're invited to bring back your 2017 estimate of giving cards. And what will happen at the offering, maybe before I tell you this, if you need a card or would like a card, we have some that are available. And I'm sure I could ask an usher to bring them forward. If you would like one, just raise your hand. We got one up here that needs a card. You guys are on the table back over there. They're hunting for them. All right. I think they've found them now. They say 2016, but that's this year. They're the cards you're using in 2016 for 2017, which means that when Pastor Gary made those cards, he didn't notice that. So anyway, so if you need a card, raise your hand. The ushers will come find you. And later on in the service, you will have the opportunity where our offering takes place. We invite you to bring both your offering and your estimate of giving card forward to a basket that will magically appear here right in front of the altar. And you can come as families or as individuals, however you would like to do it. Part of our celebration at that time will involve the candles that were at the door. If you need a candle, we also need you to raise your hand. Let's do it this way. If you need a card, raise your left hand. If you need a candle, raise your... No. Yes, right. Yeah. some cards up here, Lane. But anyway, if you need a candle, get one. You'll need it later on. Okay? Any questions about it? We're doing this just the same way we've always done it, so you'll know what to do when you get there. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Today we are excited to begin. I have an opportunity for you. How about that? Today you'll notice in your Go and Serve an announcement about we're beginning to use some new chalices on the altar. When I uncover the communion up here, you'll actually see four chalices, our two regular big ones and two small ones. Those small ones will be put on the ends of the altar for those who have a gluten allergy. When people dip their bread in the regular wine, there's a transfer of gluten off of that through the wine, and so they struggle with that. So we'll just have these extra chalices on the end of the table for those who have a gluten allergy. They can use those instead. That makes sense? So if you don't have a gluten allergy, you know how this affects you? Not at all. Okay. If you do have the gluten, you'll see the extra waivers. Now, here's the opportunity for you. Normally, when we get things for our worship service, the way that happens, particularly here in the worship, the way that happens is somebody has memorial monies they want to give or something, and they come to us and say, we've got such and such an amount, and what ideas do you have of what we can do? And so then we fill that out and figure that out. This came to us backwards. In other words, the need for these came up, and we've gotten them. We just hadn't paid for them yet. So if you have a memorial or somebody you want to honor with a gift of this, these chalices cost, they were not terribly expensive, $200 would do it. So anyway, if you would like to do that, first one to get to me. After worship, not in the middle. So anyway, that is an opportunity for you if you would like to provide those for the church. We've actually paid for them. We just need to, you know, where it's coming from. So anyway, we're getting on down my list, y'all. We are loading the truck Friday at 5 o'clock for Williamsburg. If you can come help, we'd love to help. This time of year is always difficult to try to do it on a Saturday because... people tend to want to go to these ball games, I guess, you know. So we thought maybe we would try to do a late Friday afternoon kind of thing. If you can help, please come. We'll do what we can. We got plenty of stuff. Finally, let me tell you, normally this would be the part of my announcements when I would call on Sarah. She texted me this morning, and she said she hadn't felt good for the last couple of days, and this morning she woke up and is running a fever. So she's sick. Aww. So she's not here. So please remember and keep her in your prayers, as well as all the others on our prayer list and people of concern in your lives. She did say to me, I have not seen anything. There are a couple of youth events this afternoon that will also have to be rescheduled, she said in that email to me. But she has not given me any details that I have seen yet on how that rescheduling will happen. But if you had a youth event today, that's likely not going to happen. Okay? All right, let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the only sovereign who dwells in light, Christ Jesus who came to save sinners, the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of overflowing grace, we come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us all, your sins are forgiven and you are made free. We are home in God's mercy, now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And I'm going to have to stand up for this one. But that's okay. Do you know the one thing about Lutheran churches that people talk about all the time is that we do so much standing up, sitting down, kneeling, standing up, sitting down, kneeling. You've seen that, right? Well, you know what? They're going to do more of that. Okay? I'm going to ask them, watch this. If you have ever taught someone to drive a car, please stand up. All right, you can sit down. Thank you. If you have ever taught someone to cook a meal, please stand up. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. If you have ever taught someone how to answer a telephone. Okay, thank you. Oh, watch this. If you have ever taught someone how to read, if you'd stand up. Look at all the... Okay, thank you. All right. I bet y'all didn't know this. When you were born, you did not know how to do this. Let's see if they taught you. If you've ever taught someone to tie their shoes. Oh, look, I think everybody in the room is standing up just about. That's amazing. There are one. Let's do one more. Let's do one more, okay? If you have ever taught somebody about Jesus, stand up. Wow, look at that. Everybody, thank you so much. That's how we learn about Jesus so much. Our parents probably are the first people that ever teach us about Jesus. But we've had Sunday school teachers and other adults in our lives, people like even me, you know, they teach us about Jesus, don't they? Isn't that such a neat thing? No, that's it. We're going to stop with that one. They're going to have plenty of opportunities to stand up later. But what I want you to remember is St. Paul, in his writings to Timothy, talks about a grandmother and a mother that taught other people about Jesus, and all these people have taught somebody about Jesus. Do you think you could teach somebody about Jesus? Sure you could. Sure. So that's what I hope you'll remember today, that not only did we learn about Jesus from our parents and other people, but we can teach others about Jesus. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and help us always to teach others about you. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Habakkuk. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and will you not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not say? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes from perverted. And I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see that what he will be able to say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on the tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Second lesson, a reading from 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I'm sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us the spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony of our Lord, or for me, a prisoner, but join me within the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us all and called us with a holy calling, not only according to the works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I suffered as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, that later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The apostles said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." The 1950s were a long, long time ago. How long ago were they, you might ask? Well, 60 years ago. Somebody's already done the math. Well, let me share with you some guidance from a 1950s home economics high school textbook concerning the duties of a housewife. And let's just see if you think things have changed. Duties of a housewife: have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return. This is a way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they get home from work, and the prospect of a good meal is part of a warm welcome needed. Number two. Be cheerful and a little more interesting for him. His boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide it. Number three,
clear away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives. Run a dust cloth over the tables. 4, minimize all noise. At the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum, and encourage the children to be quiet. 5, very simply, be happy to see him. Aww. 6, greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please him. 7, oh, I love this one. Listen to him. You may have a dozen important things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of conversation are more important than yours. If you think that one was bad. Don't complain if he's late for dinner or even if he stays out all night. Count this as minor compared to what he might have gone through at work. Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment or integrity. Remember, he is the master of the house and as such will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness. You have no right to question him. A good wife always knows her place. I've never seen so many men look confused. The 1950s were a long time ago. The apostles said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." Today's gospel lesson can be a bit difficult. Jesus had just finished an astounding statement about forgiveness. The Pharisees had always said that to be righteous, one had to forgive another person up to 3 times. Peter decided to ask Jesus about it, and in a show of what he thought was a generous display of forgiveness, doubled it and then added one. As many as 7 times he had asked. And that's when Jesus told them that forgiveness should have no limit. Well, the disciples responded with an impassioned, "Lord, increase our faith." You see, they realized that there was no way they could live out what they had just heard. They recognized their humanness and frailty and begged Jesus for help to do what he had demanded. They knew they couldn't do it on their own. And that's when Jesus began to talk about faith. The mustard seed was just about the smallest thing they could imagine in those days. And Jesus uses it to tell them that they have misunderstood faith. It's not measured in an amount as if one person can have a gallon of it and someone else a pint. No. What faith does is to reveal God's amazing work in and around and through the believer all the time. And how do you get that faith? Well, that's where we come back around to duties. Jesus told them a parable about a man and his servants. The servants did their duty and never expected thanks or for their roles to be reversed with the master. They simply obeyed his command. And just like that, Jesus seems to be saying, the path to faith in God is found in obedience to God. And note, obedience to God doesn't make you worthy or earn you anything, just like it didn't earn the servants anything. We still rely on God's grace and mercy. But in living our lives as we obey God, we become God's servants, acting, doing our duty, because we love God and God loves us. Alvin Reuter has written a short piece entitled, "For Lovers, Duty is Only Natural." He writes, "Ask any parent who gets up at 2 a.m. and then at 3 a.m. and then at 3:30 a.m. to answer the cry of a sick baby. Lovers never ask, what's the least I can do? Ask any man whose income is so limited that after he pays his rent and buys his grocery, he has only pennies to spare. But his sweetheart has a birthday the next month, and he has his eye on something that means he'll have to go without lunch for 3 weeks if he buys it. And he does. And that's how things like laundry and dishes and grass cutting and car maintenance all get done. Love makes the difference. Love transforms duties into acts of love." The apostles said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And their cry becomes our prayer. It's not the 50s anymore, but as Christians, we have our duties to live out our faith. As Christians, we have our place wrapped up in the love of God forever. Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of all, you have called us and you have made us yours. Being in your family means so much to us, Lord God. We feel you near. We feel the nearness of each other in love. Be with us always, Heavenly Father. Every day, help us to walk with you. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen our faith now, living Savior. In a world that so often seeks to pull us away from you, draw us close. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that our faith lives and breathes in us. Lord, in your mercy, great God of hope, bring your hope to the many in need or in hunger or in loneliness or sorrow. Give us your comfort, your care, and your help. Show us your presence in our lives. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Savior, a year ago in the face of devastating rains, our confidence and dependence on ourselves was brought low. We learned anew how frail we truly are and how much we really need you. Keep us in that faith, O God. Bless, help, and comfort those who suffered in the storm and those who still struggle with recovery even now. Use us to reach out in love, compassion, and mercy. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Please rise. You can blow out your candles.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, our bread of life, our table and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with a manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us, and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We come again to you, O God, giving you thanks that in this feast of mercy, you have embraced us and healed us, making us one in the body of Christ. Go with us on our way. Equip us for every good work, that we may continue to give you thanks by embracing others with mercy and healing. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.